Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, your roundup of the day's main news stories. So coming up over the next half hour, we'll be hearing what's been going on in Timor today as the November sitting got underway. One topic dominating this afternoon, we'll hear all about that in a moment. One thing that came up this morning again was the MyCard situation. What is going to happen for those who don't have a bank account for benefits and pensions to be paid into when it's switched off at the end of the year? And on a similar note, with news in the past week that the Isle of Man's mobile branch has been taken off the road, a caller to Man and Line raised concerns about access to cash over here, and we've got an official response on that. And what do dogs and cathedrals have in common? We'll find out a little bit later. That's all to come before 5:30 here on Update. We'll start as ever with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai. The area plan for the north and west has been defeated in Tynwald. The proposal was subject to a combined vote in the court this afternoon, with it receiving 13 votes for and 11 against in the House of Keys. In Legislative Council, one voted in support with six members against. The proposal would have guided further development across Ramsey, Peel, Michael and the surrounding parishes. The Education Minister says substantial progress has been made on the design of the new Castle Rushen High School. Daphne Kane says the project is now at the concept design stage, but says there are very many pressures on her department.
All our capital works in the department plan are our priority, and we are working through them as diligently as we can.
The Department of Infrastructure will soon be submitting a planning application for a flood defence and highway reconstruction scheme for Ramsey's West Quay and Derby Road. Treasury is still negotiating backup options for MyCard users who don't have a bank account. And the steam packet has cancelled this evening's 7:15pm departure to Heysham, as well as the return crossing at 1:45am tomorrow. It's due to forecast adverse weather with a gale warning currently in operation in the North Irish Sea. Further afield, a victim of Jeffrey Epstein has hit out at Donald Trump ahead of a vote on a bill which could force the American government to release all of their documents on the financier.
The world should see the files to know who Jeffrey Epstein was and how the system catered to him and failed us.
Jenna-Lisa Jones says the US president should show some leadership while speaking alongside other survivors on the Capitol steps. The vote to make the files public is expected to pass in the House of Representatives tonight. In the UK, an action plan is in place to counter Chinese spying efforts after MI5 warned that politicians are being targeted by Beijing. And Scotland aim to end their 28-year wait to qualify for the World Cup tonight. They're your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thanks very much, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So there is that yellow weather warning. It comes into force at 6 until 10 tomorrow morning. Temperatures falling close to zero, sub-zero surface temperatures in some places, so there will be that risk of ice again, especially on the mountain road. That is going to be a higher risk, so do take care if you're travelling in that area at all. Essentially though, mostly dry this evening, fresh to strong westerly winds, just a small chance of a small shower. They will move away later this evening as the wind turns to the south. That is going to bring that colder air in and that risk of ice this evening and tonight. Lowest temperatures, -1 in the most sheltered spots. So a cold and potentially icy start tomorrow, mainly over high ground, as we say. Otherwise, though, it's actually going to be really nice. Largely dry, sunny spells, and any wintry showers likely to remain offshore to the west and south of the island. Top temperatures, though, just feeling 6, but it actually will feel colder than that in those strong northerly winds.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company. Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update. It is exactly 5 past 5. And as we mentioned, Tim Wald is back in session for this month's sitting. And as expected, the North and West Area Plan has dominated much of this afternoon's discussion. This is a comprehensive planning document. It guides development in the area to meet social, environmental and economic needs. Christian Jones has been down in the Tim Wald chamber this afternoon. Fastamai, what can you tell us in a nutshell about this then, Christian?
Yeah, Fastamai, Beth. Absolutely. The North West Area Plan has come under fire, not really because of its content on this occasion. Most members know what's happening in that, and they've made their thoughts known by now, but actually because Treasury tabled an amendment just before the combined vote, and that timing has gone down very badly with a sizable chunk of the chamber. Some members called it skullduggery, others a smokescreen. One even suggested it was lowering the standard of the proceedings they expect. Now, to be clear, any member, Comyn or otherwise, is perfectly entitled to bring an amendment at any time. So the frustration today was really about when this one appeared. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas, for example, said he didn't have enough time to work through the implications and crunch the numbers or even get feedback from his constituents. So he tried to adjourn the debate so he could bring his own amendments in response, describing the situation as ridiculous, his wording there. That adjournment attempt ultimately failed, though.
So then we moved on to that combined vote. What can you tell us about that then?
Yeah, so as we know, last month the government was defeated when LegCo threw out the North West Area Plan. Government then asked for a combined vote, which means instead of one chamber being able to block the other, it's just a straight majority across both together. So that vote happened just today, only literally a few minutes ago. Once again, the government was defeated, and it's definitely fair to say this will mark a significant blow for the Cannon administration. So that begs the question, what happens next? I've been speaking to some of the MHKs. Quite an unprecedented vote, actually. If a Northwest Area Plan is to come back to Tim Wald, it's very unlikely, arguably almost impossible, that it will return before the next general election. The Cabinet Office will effectively have to start again, back to the drawing board, back to square one, and rework the whole process. So it is probably fair to say this will come as a bit of a shock to the Council of Ministers. Many years of work, consultations, public inquiries, and to a large extent, they're all now redundant. And the big thing to watch now is how the government responds from here.
So that's obviously been the main issue dominating proceedings. What can you tell us briefly about the rest of the order paper so far then?
Yeah, so still far away to go. When I saw the order paper, I said even might just be a single day. Alas, I lost that bet. Looking like we'll be going into a second day, probably a fair chunk of it too. Up next, I think we're due to be hearing from the Health Minister on the autism strategy.
And it is tea break time. Have you had a biscuit yet?
No, there's no rest for the wicked.
Well, no, certainly not. Christian, thank you very much indeed. That's Christian down in the Tim Wald chamber. So we'll keep you up to date with what's happening down there. You can listen in to Tim Wald on our DAB channels. You can find it on our website. Something that came up this morning, though, is the fact that Treasury is still negotiating backup options for MyCard users who don't have a bank account. The minister was quizzed on that topic again this morning during questions. Now, this service, which allows users to pick up their benefits and pensions in cash, is due to be switched off at the end of the year. Dr. Alex Allenson admits delaying that switch off would be more complicated than originally thought.
Final discussions with potential providers are ongoing and are close to being finalised, but I can assure the Honourable Member that at least one alternative method of payment will be in place from the beginning of January. The Social Security Division has always had a payment exemption service to ensure that we meet our legal requirements to provide benefits to those in need.
Can I just confirm with the Treasury Minister, he said that there's 843 people still using the MyCard, 118 have a bank account, so that means there could be as many is 725 people who in 5 weeks' time the Treasury are essentially abandoning, because as of this moment in time he cannot confirm to this Honourable Court that there is an alternative payment mechanism in place.
I can absolutely understand his frustration, and I would agree that we've been surprised how people haven't come forward, despite the number of letters being written to them, to explain what they would like to do with the transition. We do have the cheque payment system. What we're trying to absolutely ensure is that people can cash those cheques in a geographic situation which relates to where they live. We also have a cash delivery service that can be instituted, but obviously that will demand the staff to go out to actually provide cash to people. So I can confirm and guarantee that people will be getting their benefits, but it is absolutely important that we try to tailor the payment methods to each individual who needs their pension or the benefits paying in cash, because they can't or don't have access to a bank account. Again, the Social Security Division are not deactivating the cards. The current contract we have with Isle of Man Post Office, those automatically are deactivated at certain times. And from what I gather, it will be midnight on the 31st of December. We've gone through the reissuing of my cards in the past when that's been the case. We've reached out to the Post Office to see whether that deactivation can be delayed, but it seems to be an issue with the overall system itself, and that those cards, if they are going to be used, will have to be not just reactivated but actually completely reissued for people going forward. We had long conversations with them about their long-term sustainability at a time when the Post Office was seeing a number of social changes in terms of people posting less letters but also using counter services far less. That is why we gave an extremely long lead time to the discontinuation of the MyCard service. That's why we have extended it again and again over the last 3 years. But the time has come with the reduced number of people who are using the service and with the fixed costs to look at other but more secure and sustainable methods of doing that.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, speaking in Tim Ward this morning. It's 11 minutes past five. We're going to stay on the financial thing now, because last week we heard the Isle of Man Bank confirming its mobile branch Penny was being taken off the road. Now, this van service was introduced in 2015 following the closure of three of the island's physical branches. And in a statement to us, the bank said the move was in response to the increasing use of digital banking and aligns with efforts to meet the evolving needs of its customers and industry-wide shifts. It added in the statement, the mobile branch Penny has served our community well over the past 10 years, and our commitment to serving customers across the island remains unchanged. Our digital, telephone and branch services, they say, are available to support all banking needs. Well, with footfall falling by 70%, the bank believes Penny had fulfilled its role and mobile branch banking is no longer a required service. But one caller to Man in Line after this news broke raised some concerns about this move. Stephen referred to the Treasury Minister's recent call to anyone without a bank account to get in touch to see how they could be helped about the MyCard situation. But actually, Stephen doesn't think that's the only problem.
Never mind get a bank account. There's no bank. There is simply no bank accounts from Castletown right up the west coast, right up past all the small settlements on the west coast through Peel and the Ramsey, and no one seems to be caring or asking questions or seeing what can be done. And as I say, Alex Allenson is saying, well, let us know if you can't get a bank account. We'll try and help you. But what's the point? There is no banks. There is no banking facilities. What is interesting, Andy and listeners, is that in the UK, they have, from the Financial Conduct Authority, they have introduced regulations to ensure that remote communities where they don't have access to cash can have access to cash. And I'll read the relevant point. The FCA has introduced new access to cash regulations to ensure free and convenient access to cash across the UK. These regulations, implemented under the Financial Services and Market, require large banks and building societies to access customer cash. Access needs an act to maintain service, and some MHKs are quick to want to introduce UK legislation, but where it comes and is a benefit to ordinary people who may not be internet savvy or want to spend money on a new phone, there's nothing being done. What is the responsibilities within our Financial Supervision Commission? You could even ask the head of the Financial Supervision Commission, Isle of Man, to come on and tell us why there's no regulations. to ensure that there's access to cash in our rural communities and smaller towns.
That was Stephen speaking on the Man in Line. Well, we did get in touch with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority, and they've given us the following statement. The authority continually monitors developments in the island's financial services sector, including the consumer impact and community response to issues such as branch closures and the withdrawal of ATMs. Changes to banking services mainly occur as a result of commercial decisions, with a drop in footfall and a shift towards digital banking often cited as the main reasons behind the closures. The authority's consent is not required for a bank to close or reduce the hours of operation of a regional branch. It goes on to say there's no current equivalent in the Isle of Man to the UK access to cash legislation. The authority continues to work with the Department for Enterprise, which is considering the recommendations in the Access to Cash report in relation to cash and its accessibility across the Isle of Man. And as the island's financial regulator, they say, we have a range of tools at our disposal, including the use of voluntary codes, guidance and rulebook requirements. For example, the authority can specify a bank must comply with an applicable code or standard. We have used this in relation to branch and ATM closures and the expectations placed on banks. It is 5:15. So just one more thing from the Tynwald Chamber that came up this morning. So we've been talking about a lot over the past week or so. That was when the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister welcomed Milan Vet's decision to extend the deadline before it withdraws farm services. The practice, believed to support around 90% of the island's livestock, wrote to farmers last week saying it would stop its farm work at the end of this month. But that decision's now been reversed and services will continue beyond November, with a further update expected early in the new year. Minister Claire Barber says securing alternative provision as quickly as possible remains essential.
Last Monday, my department was made aware of the announcement from Milan Vets regarding the closure of its farm services at the end of November. Upon hearing this news, officers and I were very aware that this would be of great concern for farmers and the wider agricultural community. The loss of any of the island's few large animal veterinary service providers would have a considerable impact on the island's agricultural industry. Any risk to farmers being able to access such services could adversely affect business performance, animal welfare and disease control. We are also acutely aware that access to a veterinary surgeon is a core requirement for certain farm assurance schemes. Since hearing the news, the Chief Veterinary Officer has contacted all veterinary practices across the island to gain a full understanding of the current situation. My department have also been in discussion with colleagues in the Department for Enterprise regarding potential support schemes for new and existing veterinary practices looking to expand into farm work or increase their capacity. In addition, the department has engaged with the Manx National Farmers Union to develop a survey to better understand the needs and requirements of farmers in relation to veterinary services, and this is currently underway.
Farms need to be registered with a veterinary practice in order to meet the Red Tractor standards, which is then able to supply into the marketplace. So the minister indicated there were wider potential repercussions from this. This could affect our food sustainability full stop, could it not?
There is unquestionably a number of areas where this would have an impact, not least that without access to livestock veterinary services, it would be almost impossible for people to continue farming. So I cannot impress enough the amount of time and effort that is going in working with the vets.
That is the Environment Minister Claire Barber speaking in Tynwald this morning.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing on the police pages, which is always good, but just make sure that you're careful about that yellow weather warning that's coming into force in around about 45 minutes for icy patches, especially over the higher ground this evening and tonight. Looking down at the airport, that's okay. But as we heard in the news, the steam packet has cancelled its 7:15 sailing to Heysham. And so that means obviously the return isn't going either. The first sailing out will be 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Just gone 18 minutes past five, and a Manx mum who believes every child deserves the right to an education is reflecting on what it means that politicians have backed her call to implement neurodiversity training across all the island's schools. Now, last month, Tynwald unanimously supported this motion, committing to making adaptive and inclusive practice a core part of teacher training. And they've got to come back to the court with a phased timeline for implementations by February next year. Well, Amy asked Nicola Whitlam-Beckett, whose Tynwald petition was the basis of this motion, if she thought that was enough time.
I think so, yeah. I think they've already made massive strive to improvement anyway. Last November, they brought out training for autism. So that's already there in place, but that is voluntary. So I'm just happy now that it's recognised that it needs to be mandatory, consistent, ongoing training. So they have made such headway already. So they do have something in place that they can probably just roll that out and make sure that that is mandatory, consistent and ongoing for everyone.
And the motion itself as well, it's calling for the training to have a tangible impact on classroom practice and pupil experience. So for you, what will that tangible difference look like?
Children feeling like school is a safe space for them to go to. Children feeling like they are supported, they're heard, and their needs are recognised and being listened to, and actually understanding that not every child will learn in the same way. It's not possible for every child to sit at a desk for however many hours a day. We're not all going to learn that way. And recognising the differences within each child and making education available to them as well as all the other students that can sit at a desk and learn that way.
So how confident are you then that you will start to see those tangible improvements?
I'm really confident. I actually feel excited and proud and grateful that I'm just hopeful as well that this is the start of real lasting change, because they've already got such a large amount of training there to deliver. Yeah, I am confident that it's probably not going to take too much time to get it all rolled out. They did express to me that it was going to start with senior staff and SENCOs and then go from there to make sure that every level of teaching training is given to everyone.
That's Nicola Whitland-Beckett talking to Amy there. It's 20 past five and nominations have opened for the 2025 Isle of Man Sports Awards. Now, this is an annual event which celebrates the success and sporting achievements of athletes, teams and officials from the island over the past year. And Rob Pritchard has the details.
12 accolades will be up for grabs, including the coveted Isle of Man Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year titles. People are now being invited to submit names of those who they think should be in contention for honours at the awards ceremony, which will be held at the Royal Hall at the Villa Marina in Douglas on Thursday, the 26th of February 2026. Among last year's winners, Sir Mark Cavendish scooped the Isle of Man Sportsman of the Year title as well as the 2024 Lifetime Achievement Award, whilst equestrian star Yasmin Ingham secured the Isle of Man Sportswoman of the Year crown. Elsewhere, Sidecar TT champions Ryan and Callum Crowe were named Team of the Year, and Elliot Baxter from the World of Cycling won Coach of the Year. The Under 21 Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year prizes went to athlete Regan Corrin and trials rider Caitlin Atzed, respectively. To be eligible, nominees must be Manx or have resided on the Isle of Man for at least 2 years. The deadline for nominations will be on Sunday, the 14th of December 2025. Details of the categories athletes, officials and teams can be nominated for is available at manxradio.com. Nominations can be completed online at the Isle of Man Sport website by completing the specified form or by emailing iomsportsawards@gov.im.
Rob talking about the nominations opening for the 2025 Isle of Man Sports Awards. 22 minutes past five. So a resident from the New Forest and her dog are on a pilgrimage to visit all the dog-friendly cathedrals in the UK and the Isle of Man. And recently, Sarah Morris and her Labrador Daisy ticked off another on the list when they came over to visit Peel Cathedral. Now, along the way, Sarah's writing to church leaders who don't allow dogs in to try and convince them into having a change of heart. She said it all started back in 2021.
A couple of months later, I was at Winchester Christmas Market, right next to the cathedral, and there's a big sign outside the cathedral saying, "Welcome." So I went in. We don't allow dogs in Winchester Cathedral. And it was a horrible feeling, it really was. But I discovered that deans have complete autonomy as to what goes on in cathedrals. So I wrote to the then Dean of Winchester Cathedral, and she came straight back to me and said, "I'm so sorry you were asked to leave Winchester Cathedral. We're going to change the policy and allow dogs into the cathedral, and I'd like you and Daisy to be my guest." So I thought, I'll write a letter to Church Times. So I contacted Church Times, and they said, "Actually, we don't want a letter. Can you write an article for us? Because this is starting to be a thing." Canterbury had then become dog friendly, and I think there were five or six, and they were realising the visitor numbers were going up. This is the one thing sort of unexpectedly that has come out of the pilgrimage. This is now the 32nd cathedral. There are 45 and there are still a few more that are refusing, but I'm working on them.
You may be able to give me an insight into this as a dog behaviourist. Dogs will respond to a peaceful atmosphere.
When we come into a cathedral, they're large open spaces, and It's usually quieter. And all these things actually change the dog's behaviour as well. There haven't been any problems. I always ask when I go to a cathedral, there haven't been any problems. What I've been doing is finding out which cathedrals do not welcome dogs. And I'll write a letter to the dean. I've done this a number of times. And point out all the good things that can happen. All the signs in the Bible that you should welcome everyone. As Christ welcomed us, he welcomes everybody, no matter who you are. And a number have come back and said we're going to change our policy. There are some policies within cathedrals saying dogs are allowed in certain places in the cathedral, but not others. So if you want to come and pray in a dog-free environment, you're welcome to come to the Lady Chapel. Some cathedrals started off with, say, a dog-friendly Friday, so that if you don't want to come across a dog in a cathedral, if you've got a fair, that's fine. So start off with a small area and see how it goes. But all of those cathedrals that have started off small have gone full-time.
That's Sarah Morris talking to Jude there. Sport, Rob.
Fast am I. First off in motorsport, Burroughs Engineering RK Racing is thanking Manx rider Connor Cummins for his services to the team throughout the 2025 season. It was announced this week that the Ramsey man is setting up his own team, Conrod Motorsport, to compete in the 2026 Isle of Man TT races. Following the news, Burroughs Engineering RK Racing is praising Cummins' efforts and professionalism and is wishing him well on his new venture. Well, during 2025, the Manxman managed two top 10 finishes in the Superstock TT races and gave the team its fastest ever TT lap. In football, Corinthians and Peel both took commanding victories during the latest round of the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup. Three ties took place at the bowl on Sunday, with the biggest margin of success going the way of 11-time winners Corinthians, who romped to a 17-0 win over Union Mills. Holly Stephen led the individual goal scoring tallies for Corinthians, netting five. Millie Dawson found the net four times. Chloe Tier bagged a hat-trick, and there were further strikes from Shannon Groves, Pamela Armalay, Holly Sumner, Kaylee D. Corrin and Poppy Glennon, who was making her Corinthians debut. Elsewhere, defending champions Peel were convincing 7-0 winners over Russian United, with Pippa Wallace starring with four goals and then one goal apiece for Sarah Wignall, Becky Corkish and Leah Clegg. And in the third remaining tie, seven-time winners of the competition Douglas Royal held off a second-half comeback from Malou to take a 3-2 win. And in hockey, the Isle of Man women's over 45 side suffered a 6-1 defeat at the hands of Timperley during their latest contest in the England Hockey Masters Championships last weekend. Competing in the women's over 45s trophy at Lancaster University, the Ireland side found themselves three goals down at half-time and with a mountain to climb in the second period. And the job didn't get any easier in the second half, as a clinical Timperley netted three more to take the game beyond their Ireland opponents. The Manx squad did grab a late consolation, however, as Ros Lynch converted a penalty stroke in the final few seconds to get the Islanders on the score sheet. Well, the loss means the Isle of Man women's over-45s will now drop into the England Hockey women's over-45s VARS competition and will return to action in the new year.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob, for all the latest sports news. Head over to the Manx Radio website. We've also got the Facebook page as well. I just want to read you this message from Jo. This is in relation to the MyCard situation that we were talking about a little bit earlier. She says, I'll have to wait to get my benefit paid into my bank account. I deal in cash. I know where I am. I separate my money, food, petrol and other things. If I don't have it, I can't spend it, and I know what I have. I tell my children, take cash out, and then you realise how much you're spending as you don't look at your bank balance, so it's easy to just tap and pay. I live in Port Erin, and there is one cash point at most of the time that is not working either. And also, she says, I worked in a post office, and to some people it was the only time they saw people, and if we didn't see our customers for a week or two, we would ask other people if they'd seen them to check in that they were okay. That is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it is Countryside with Simon and Kiri. There's a flower show on the agenda, among other things, tonight. At 6, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. John Barker has the folk show at 9. And then Ree will be with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.